And welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, the show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important person here. El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman is here. Hello.
Good morning, Renee, again.
It's good to see you. How are you today?
It's been a few weeks.
I know. Well, you did come in a couple of weeks ago on the morning to talk about
a scam
for DMV.
Yeah, and we can talk a little
bit
more about
that. And we're going to talk more about that. But let's start with, it is a city election.
It is the city election.
That's happening April 2nd, but the county supports.
Yes, we do extensively. Sarah Johnson, the city clerk, and her staff, we work very well together to support one another. So at this time, the city does their April municipal elections themselves, but there's a number of activities that we do to support them. And that starts many months ago where we're working with them to give them the voter registration list. They also get the signature list from our office that has your signature on file so that when you send in your ballot back to the city, they can verify that is you and only you. They use many of our drop boxes. And then the last about 10 days or so, we have staff that's embedded in their office to assist them with voter registration updates, address corrections, so for stuff. And we'll have our phone lines available at our office at 575-VOTE to help extend that support. Election night next week, Tuesday, for people in the city of Colorado Springs that want to vote. So we cooperate. They are the lead on that because they run their election,
right.
But we're there hand in hand to help them. Yes.
And help. Now, which, it's not all the drop-off locations, right? It's strategically placed drop-off locations.
Correct. Okay. You know, the county has 16 locations, but, you know, a good number of them is in the county.
In the county,
So we have our 5 motor vehicle offices. We have the one at Garden of the Gods Road. We have the one at Union and Research, the Union Town Center. We have our Airport and Powers location.
Okay.
When I was just talking to Mike we were coming in, he had dropped off his father-in-law's ballot there at that location, Airport and Powers. We have our Fort Carson office. People can drop that off at the installation there, our motor vehicle office on the installation there. And then also our downtown location of Verma, Hohens, and Cascade.
But we do need to confirm, if you have a question about this election, you need to reach out to the city.
Yes, you reach out to the city, and the number for the city is 385-5901. That is 385-5901. But if you happen to call our office, we'll put you in touch with them.
That's
too.
Awesome. And we're going to try and get Sarah on next week. I know, I'm sure right now she's a little crazy busy.
She is. In a good way.
So we're trying to see if we can get Sarah on next week. So awesome. And again, 385-5901. If you have a question about the upcoming city election, by the way, ballots due by 7 p.m. on April 2nd.
Yeah, it has to be in that box in the hands of election officials by 7 p.m.
And by the way, it's too late to have mailed it by now.
It is. It is. It's largely recommended not to because our mail goes to Denver. It takes a couple days there, a couple days back, and you're kind of just cutting it a little close. So whether it's a city election or a county election, once it comes a week before the election, please use that drop box.
Or drop it off at the city the office there.
Yep.
Okay, speaking of elections, and I know we're going to have to carry this over to the next break, Chuck, but I even said to you, what's the first thing I said to you when you walked in? The omnibus election bill. Like, is this...
It sounds scary.
It sounds scary. And is this at the state or federal
this
level?
This is at the state level.
And okay.
There's some good things in it, but there are some things that will radically change our election process. Will add significant costs, and we can talk more about that after the break.
And how? And this is again being started by a group. Is that right?
Yeah, an activist group that's working with the General Assembly to do that. It was we had been talking to the activists here for a number of weeks and months. And they decided to drop it late last night, and it definitely will have some impact, especially on cost to El Paso County citizens.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we need to find out. It does. The name alone, Omnibus Election Bill. We'll have more and get into this with El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman, and we kind of teased it. We did tease it, Chuck, before we went to break. It is called the Omnibus Election Bill. This is happening at the state level. Correct. And you and I were talking in the break, and you'll fill us in why, but it sounds like every Colorado County clerk is saying no to this bill.
We had a meeting on Monday where we discussed the draft. We've been working with organizers to make adjustments to it so that it can be better for us to implement. You know, Renee, Colorado has what is noted across the country as the best system of election in the country.
Colorado does.
Yes, Colorado does. We make it very easy for citizens to vote. Citizens get their ballots 21 days before the election. They can vote in the comfort of their home. If they do mismark their ballot or have moved and they need to have those services to be able to vote, we have 1,440 hours of voter service and polling time before the election day where people can update those things, get a new ballot. So we make it very easy for people to access the ballot to vote and to be heard in our elections. This would radically change the way elections are conducted. It would nearly double the cost of our office. It takes us in a presidential election about $1.8 to $2 million to conduct an election. These things, and we're thinking about the presidential because already there's a lot in the news.
Right.
It will nearly double my cost. I will add about $1.5 to $1.6 million. The premise that the organizers have is that wait times are long. But wait times are not long. We had
like at polling places. They're saying?
Yes.
For those that like to go to polling places.
Yes. Yeah. So people who go, you know, we're open nearly 3 weeks beforehand. For at all these locations, as soon as you step in, you're waited by somebody. It is only in the last 2 hours, 3 hours
of election day.
To be a little bit of a line. You know, throughout the state, there's 400 voter service and polling centers. There was 24 that had a little bit over 30-minute wait time. But anybody in line in Colorado, even at 7 p.m., if you're in line, you're going to be able to vote. This will dramatically increase the number of voter service and polling centers. It will add a significant amount of cost for us in capital equipment, in election judges. With respect to election judges, it's been a challenge here the last couple of years with a super hot economy.
I remember talking to you about that.
We were here
yeah.
a number of times encouraging more and more people to help, and I would have to nearly double the number of staff that I have to have on hand.
Right.
So there's an additional cost of that. There's also an expansion of hours on election day. They want us to open our polls at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Instead of the 7.
Okay. And I will tell you, at the 7 o'clock hour last election, there was 37 people that I saw among my 28 voter service and polling locations. So
27 at all of the locations at 7?
Yes, 37 okay. the last. So about one per location during that hour. So, you know, earlier hours, and then they would like us to go to 8 p.m. So to get results on election night, we'll further extend into the wee hours.
So obviously, results won't start coming in until
after 8 o'clock. So that's a change. Other additional costs, we have 16 convenient drop boxes throughout our community. I'm always, every year in my budget, adding a couple more because I think people will want to vote that way, is return their ballot that way. This would require me to have 52 total locations for Dropbox.
In the county.
52. These Dropboxes have to have security cameras and lights on them. They cost about $10,000 to $12,000 per location. So there's about $500,000 just there in Dropboxes. It's a convenience. And I am committed to adding more, but it's a dramatic increase in cost and capital in order to carry out the wishes for, you know, we had 312 people that waited over half hour on election day.
312?
Yeah, I could fix it.
Out of a county of how many?
We had 325,000 voters, so 0.12% of voters waited over 30 minutes or more. I can solve the problem for $20,000, but they're mandating. It's an unfunded mandate. It's people in Denver trying to dictate how clerk and recorders should conduct elections. So it's an overreach. It's an unfunded mandate. We know best service our citizens. We're responsible for them. We listen to our citizens and adapt our practices so best suits them. This is kind of a one-size-fits-all approach for a small a problem that is very small.
I was going to say, is this like a if it ain't broke, really don't fix it kind of a situation?
I think it's a solution in search of a problem.
Now, it sounds like the first reading, like you were saying, is coming up actually next Tuesday, and that's the first full reading of this bill?
We think it'll be in committee Tuesday.
Okay.
It was just read over the desk.
Oh, it just was just read. Okay.
Late last night, we suspect it's going to be heard Tuesday. It is called House Bill, let's see here. It just got a number, House Bill 1278. If citizens have thoughts on it, they can reach me in my office at 575-VOTE, or they can come and testify. Once it's going to be heard, we'll post that on our website.
And you're going, aren't you?
I am going.
Are a lot of county clerks going?
Well, if it's heard on Tuesday, there are a number of my fellow county clerks and recorders around the state that are conducting municipal elections in their areas. You know, City Colorado Springs, as we talked before, is conducting those themselves. We help. But I'll be able to go up, but some of my other fellow clerk and recorders will be unfortunately unable to go and testify on this because it may be heard on Tuesday. So we're hoping we can get a delay so that more clerk and recorders can weigh in and voice their concerns on this bill.
Well, and not only, I mean, but the funding alone, like to add, like you said, $1.5 to $1.6 million
sure.
for a federal and presidential.
And where's the money coming from? You know, this is something that the state hasn't come forward with money on how to pay for this. So will it come back on our office? We are a fiscally conservative community. We try to be very conscious with the taxpayer dollar. This is equivalent to like 30 people, or it could be a couple miles of road that's paved. So where does this money come from to meet the requirements of this bill?
And also, and we're going to have to wait till after the news break to touch on this, Chuck, but it sounds like they want to change the voting age in certain areas as well. Okay, so we'll talk about that and a lot more with El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman. Hello!
Good morning!
Thanks for joining us today. We have so much to cover. So much to cover. And I know we're talking about the omnibus election bill, which sounds like you'll be going to the Capitol to try and...
I actually were going up there to talk a little bit today, this afternoon. But it looks like, you know, it was read over the counter, over the desk last night. So probably in the next few days to a week, we'll be testifying on it. It would be a dramatic change to our election system. Colorado enjoys what is widely regarded across the country as the best election system in the country. We make it extremely easy for people to vote and to ensure that there's no fraud, that their vote is counted correctly in
and
a transparent way.
And this would change this.
And this would add additional costs. Like I had said in the previous segment, we spend about $1.8 to $2 million on election. That's probably about
Air Force Secretary Heather Wilson announced
this will add $1.6 to $1.7 million.
Action and accidents for you.
And how about the changing the age of voters? Is that part
of
it?
That is
you?
A separate
meteorologist Katie Donovan
was introduced last week by some legislators in the General Assembly that would allow 16 and 17 year olds to vote in school elections. So this is a change. This is under the Constitution, you have to be 18. So this would require a change in the state constitution, and there would be some cost to implement, and then I think there's a public policy debate that needs to be had about 16 and 17 year olds voting. I'm concerned about 16 and 17 year olds. They're usually viewed as being confidential when it comes to matters,
right?
And I'm concerned.
And this would open their records up.
I think this could open up those records. I think, you know, with voter registration drives, political entities do voter registration drives, and I'm concerned that is there enough protection in this bill to ensure that they remain anonymous, that they're not getting those robocalls that we have been getting the last couple of weeks and
the
slick mailers in our mailbox. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about always identity theft when they're when people's information is out there. So there's a number of things that I think we need to debate about. 16 and 17 year olds voting before we go forward. There's cost implications. There's whether this is an appropriate thing for young people to engage. We have many ways where young people can get engaged. We have student judges that we use in elections. There's teen court. There's many ways that we have over the years have worked to bring young people into this area so that they can be informed voters when they get a little older.
Well, I know you guys will keep everybody up to date on happens with this bill. Thank you so much for letting everybody know what's going on. Yeah, absolutely. And we do need to, because you know how fast it can go, Chuck, but we do need to update folks on some other stuff that's going on. And this is super important. We had you on the morning show a few weeks ago.
Yep.
It's kind of a website vehicle renewal scam looking like a county renewal DMV site.
Yeah, it looks like the state or the county's website. When people Google, you know, Department of Motor Vehicle, DMV, Colorado, Colorado Springs, there's entities that pay to get, you know, that preferential. That top couple search engine looks. The state of Colorado and ours is usually buried 3, 4, 5, 6 down. Some of these entities are legit. Others are not. Others, charge extra fees in order to do a renewal when you can come to EPC Drives, our website, or you can go to the state of Colorado's website, MyDMV Colorado, and there's no additional fees. It's at cost. You pay nothing more than what you're required to pay. So, you know, buyer beware. Be concerned when you go on and Google Colorado or Colorado Springs DMV that you have our website or the state of Colorado's website.
Because are they kind of mimicking the look of it?
They do.
Too?
They do look. Okay. They do look official.
Okay.
And the like, but some of them will offer additional like insurance services. I had one customer who was billed $19.99 a month for some insurance that they didn't
that they
really
just
need.
Kind of dropped in
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Yeah. So be careful. And we really want citizens to use online services, but go to our site, EPC Drives or MyColorado.com, MyColoradMV.com, because it keeps you out of the office. You can renew online, you can renew by mail, you can go to our kiosks. We have the smart app, Gov2Go, that people can renew. We make it easy. We want you to skip the wait, stay at home and renew this. But if you're using the internet, be cautious, be an informed consumer, and watch where you're going.
Now, have you guys seen if somebody is accidentally gets on one of these sites, is the registration information getting to you guys for the renewal?
Apparently, it is.
Okay.
I don't know 100%. That's just a concern. Is your information
actually getting?
Yeah. Is it
going into the scammer abyss?
Is it going to other entities?
Right.
You know, is that being sold? Is that being? So just in this day and age, you got to be aware. You want to prevent identity theft, but we have a secure site, so use epcdrives.com.
And let's talk about. When you were here, Chuck, you were like, what do you mean you haven't downloaded the app, Renee? So, yeah, let's talk about this app. So the app is the Gov2Go smartphone app, and it's available on the Google Play and App Store, right?
It is. Myself and a couple other counties developed this app so that you can have that on your phone, and it will, if you put in your license plate number, it will remind you when your month is due. And then it'll send you a reminder saying it's due, and it'll send you a couple other reminders throughout the month, but it'll allow you to renew via that app. So it's a way of reminding you so you don't incur late fees, and also it's a convenience that you can do that through that app in a secure way and renew your tags, and they'll be sent to you in the next 3, 4, 5 days.
Because you were chuckling at me because I told you, like, the last one, for some reason, my renewal notice does not come in the mail.
Your dog ate it.
Yeah, I just don't know. And then I was like, I'm just going to go use the kiosk, right?
Yeah.
And then I think I needed my VIN, of course. And I was like, I don't need a VIN. So then I went running into the office. I'm like, please help me. And you're like, just go to the app, Renee. Yep. Like,
you downloaded the app, but now you need to put your plate on there, right?
Yes, and get it set up. And let's talk about the kiosks because are they still popping up?
We have five, and we Just negotiated with King Soopers. There's going to be a couple more that is going to be housed
in King Soopers
around the
that
county.
Makes
so it
sense.
Makes it even more super convenient for citizens that they can go to one of those 24/7. So stay tuned. See that here later this year, probably more towards summertime.
Well, especially if you're one like I'm going to go and renew my tags at 11:59:59
on the last day.
On the last day, kiosk or the app, right? It's totally for you.
You should do it a couple minutes before the witching hour, because it does take about 2 minutes to do the transaction. So,
right.
So don't wait until 11:58, maybe 11:57.
11:55, 59.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about that programming error that happened. But it sounds like it's been all fixed.
Yep.
Everybody's been, the issues have been resolved, so we'll have more with El Paso County, there we go, my brain, El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman, next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, and today we're talking with El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman, and okay, so the programming error that happened, explain how what happened and who it affected.
Sure. The Colorado Department of Motor Vehicle, Department of Revenue, does the programming for all the state, and it's to determine the fees by which you pay on your vehicle. There's various fees and taxes. There's a fee to support law enforcement, public safety officers, ambulance services. There's money that goes to schools. So there's many different fees and taxes that are built into what you and I pay when we renew our license plate tags yearly. So the state does the programming. There was an error in December. When cars are renewed, every year they get a little cheaper because the value of that vehicle
really
decreases.
We need to talk then, Chuck.
Yes, you need to drive. You should drive older cars. Right.
My car is like 2000 and it's old.
Okay. All right. Well, that helps. But it's the fee is based on the value of the vehicle. It's called specific ownership tax. So as your car loses value, it's a little less every year. At December, you're going into January, it should decrement 1 year, and there was an error of not adding the number one in a category.
For a series of people that were renewing.
For a series of people across the state. It affected 5,000 people approximately in El Paso County. The average amount that it affected was about $120.
Per person.
Some were higher. Some were only a few bucks, but the average was that. That programming error was caught and fixed, but there had been a small number of people that incurred checks.
And they were all notified, right?
They were all notified. They all received their check. Should have been last week. So most people have already gotten that and received the proper amount due. And the state of Colorado apologizes for that.
Right.
And hopefully people are now made whole.
And if somebody has a question, they know they were affected, what's the best way to reach out? Do they reach out to you or Department of Revenue?
You can call 520-6240.
Okay.
We did extensive testing and made sure. So if you haven't received your check, be patient for a couple more days. It only affected about 12% of those that were renewing in December. Typically about 50,000 people renew a month, a little over that. So it was just a small percentage of people just for 1 month.
Perfect. Okay, and we have to talk about this special anniversary coming up. Is it officially, or it's coming up in August, but this is a big anniversary, isn't it? It's a special anniversary.
We've been at the Fort Carson installation with our Department of Motor Vehicles coming up on 2.5 years.
When you guys were launching that, and it's exciting.
It was a big deal for our community. Our county commissioners, other people in the community, the chamber really, really wanted to see us do this, and we were able to make it available, expend the funds to be able to have that, to provide that service, improve that quality of life for our warfighters there at Fort Carson. Fort Carson is the largest employer in the state.
Yeah.
It's a small city. It makes it easy. especially when the operational tempo and training is high at a military installation to get ready for being deployed. So this is just one way that we make it easier for our warfighters and their family to take care of that business before they're deployed or before they leave. We're the only place in the country that has that. That offers that ability. There is one in the Pentagon.
Right.
Pentagon, it's its own city in
itself. Yeah, I was going to say that's its own city in itself.
And so we're able to do this. That's something that we're very proud of. We're at 2.5 years, but we're approaching up on 100,000 people that have utilized that, 97,000 and change. So sometime in the next couple weeks, we will eclipse 100,000 visits to that office.
That's incredible.
It is.
That's very exciting. Okay, and before we wrap up, Motor Vehicle Department is hiring.
We are always hiring. We get our busy time is after.
I can say, aren't you going into
very
busy season?
Yes, people get their income tax returns, they tend to buy more vehicles. Summertime, people buy more vehicles, and we're on the cusp of about a year when we had two hailstorms where a lot of people renewed vehicles. That was painful.
Yeah, that was so painful.
For many people, and some people got hit twice on that. So this time of the year, we start ramping up in our motor vehicle offices. We are busier in the summer. Summertime is when our staff wants to spend time with their family, too, on vacation. So we're a little lighter on number of people that are staff. So we are hiring to anticipate that. So
getting ready for the season.
Yes. Yeah, so if you are interested in being in the career of delivering excellent customer service, we're renowned about the way we deliver fast, friendly customer service. I look for people who have a bit of a personality, a smile.
I was going to say, I bet you have to have a bit of a personality sometimes, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. And Chuck, before we go, let's just kind of recap how you guys are supporting the city election. Where's my notes? I have notes everywhere. There they are. So again, you guys
City election is next Tuesday. Sarah Johnson, who is the city clerk,
we're going to try, get to her next week if we can talk to her.
Their election, but we are there to support them. We do a number of things hand in glove with them. Sarah Johnson does an awesome job, her and her staff there. But we provide database support, voter registration files, signature files so that they can verify that that's your signature and only your signature on the back of the ballot, that not somebody else voted that. We have a few of our staff members that are embedded in their office to help with voter registration, address changes, and updates. Our phone lines will be available, 575-VOTE, to help assist city voters. But if you have questions about your ballot not being there,
you got to call the city.
The city at 385-5901. That's 385-5901.
And as we've talked about, it's too late to mail. So, and the county is providing 5 drop-off locations, ballot drop-off locations. Where are those locations?
We have our 5 motor vehicle offices. The city administration building has a drop box that we share with the city. Library 21C is a drop box location, as it is East Library there on Union. The Black Forest Park and Ride location has a drop box. City of Colorado Springs Senior Citizen off of Hancock, and then the Southeast Y is a drop-off location
Perfect.
For city ballots also.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for
coming
in today.
Thank you, Renee, for having me.
We got to a lot of stuff, and keep us posted on what happens at with the omnibus
election
bill. Thank you so much. El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Browerman. Coming up tomorrow on The Extra, it's Business Week in Review. That's tomorrow on KRDO News Radio.